Well, the NHL's got a share of drama, and we know in this series, this thing is building to a crescendo. I don't know if it's going to go six or seven games, but the talk off the ice, it continued today. We want to break down what's going on the ice, but also off the ice. Analyst for the Kings, former NHL player, nice enough to join us, and Darrell Evans up with Steve and Adam here in Vegas. How are you?
I'm doing great, guys. How you doing today?
We're good. We want to get to the action on the ice, but we love what's going on off the ice. I'm sure you're following what's happening with Ryan Reeves v. Joe Thornton and Evander Kane. What's your view of especially the chatter going back and forth?
You know, I think at this stage of the season, you know, when you get into playoff hockey, this is when all this stuff comes about, and there's a lot at stake, and I think each individual that's involved, you know, they're just trying to get the upper hand, you know, get that little bit of an edge and give their team a little bit of an edge. So, this is stuff that kind of disappeared for a little while, but I think we're starting to see a little bit of the old school come back a little bit. And I think it brings a little bit more excitement and just a little bit more flavor to the game, and where there's already a lot at stake.
I'm not trying to make you sound old, but I wanted to ask this. There was less, obviously there was no social media when you were playing, and maybe the media attention wasn't as big as it is now. Were there situations that you saw where you saw another team come unraveled or some of your own teammates come unraveled because of the chatter before games and in between games?
Well, you know, I think a lot of that chatter, like I say, it was handled, you know, on the ice, whether it be with a, you know, bench clearing brawl, or something like that, or a 5-on-5 on the ice. You know, I think you saw a lot of that kind of talk. There was a lot of conversation, going on the ice, and because, like you say, without the social media and that, there, not each and every word was marked and heard and repeated and things like that. So you could probably get away with a little bit more on the verbal side of things, but I think what it did is it really brought out that little bit of an edge on the ice, and I think you saw it and you knew it was going to come about. I don't think there was any doubt at any given time with certain circumstances, whether they be on or off the ice, that when those players got on the ice, that's the way it was going to get settled. And everybody kind of knew that. It was kind of an unwritten rule back then that you'd have to answer to your words, and that's the way it got settled. Usually through the through the fisticuffs.
You mentioned a lot of this stuff is trying to get the upper hand, and it's every single edge is important. But does this work? Have you seen it work over the years?
To a degree. I think each player has got a certain level of strength, mental strength. Some players, let things get to them a little bit more. They might be a little bit more sensitive type of thing. And, I think those are the type of things that, maybe somebody might be, trying to find out. I mean, if, somebody that's played with, say, a certain player before, and, you spot a weakness or know a weakness, how they react. It just seems like a coach, when they're directing players, some you can be a little bit more vocal and a little bit more stern with. Other ones, you got to kind of pat them on the back a little bit. And I think the same comes to, when you're trying to get underneath somebody's skin. Some guys will not even hear a word you're saying, and yet other guys will, really taking it personally. So, these are just little games played, and, if it helps you, it's great. And, sometimes you can work in reverse because you're spending too much time, trying to get that edge that's taking you away from your game. So it's just a matter of how it all plays out and how it, how guys react to it and the way they handle it.
You've seen a lot of these teams over the last couple of years, and Sharks and Knights, a budding rivalry in the Pacific Division. What have you thought of the series so far and how it's played out?
I'm not surprised the way it's playing out right now. I think when you look at the Golden Knights, the style of hockey that they played with last year, and the way they've been able to get back to that again this year. You look at the additions that they made from last season, late in the season this year, Stone, Pacioretty, Stastny, and these guys. They've added a lot to the hockey club, already a really good hockey team. They give them that much more depth and that many more weapons. San Jose is a team you're very familiar with. They've got some great players. They've had a lot of depth in their scoring as well. And I think they're kind of getting caught up. San Jose is a little bit in the game, against the Golden Knights and trying to play that style. I think you have to play to your identity, and I think that's right now where the Golden Knights are having the upper hand, because they're not adjusting the way they're playing. They're just going out there and they're playing the way they know how to play and the way that they've been played. And they've done a great job at maintaining that level of play consistently throughout their lineup, game in, game out. Yeah, maybe this year they had a couple of peaks and valleys through the course of the year, but right now, when it all counts, they found a way to get back there, and I think they're getting some great production out of a lot of guys. There's some veteran players there, and guys that are, you know, being given an opportunity. So, again, not surprised to see where it's at right now, and I think San Jose's got their, you know, their hands full with what Vegas is throwing at them right now.
We keep hearing from the San Jose side that they have full confidence in Martin Jones as a goaltender, but it's got to be difficult as a player to keep looking back and seeing the puck in the back of your net. And even if it's, even if you're making mistakes out on the ice and it's leading to some of those goals, you have to be wondering, like, is this guy going to get the job done when he has to for us? I mean, what has been your thoughts on Martin Jones this year? Because he's not the same player we've seen in the past.
You know, I think all in all, I think, you know, a lot of goaltenders, you know, I think there are a lot more grade A scoring chances, you know, this year than there have been in the years in the past. I think the game's a little bit more wide open. I think in the playoffs you expect it to, you know, to kind of tighten up a little bit with the checking standpoint. But, you know, Jones is not having the, you know, the year like he's had in the past. I think he's a very competent, a very good goaltender. And I think right now it's, you know, because the Golden Knights have got that little bit of an upper hand, that they're in his head right now. And it's amazing how just that little bit of an edge can play that big a difference. And like you say, there could be mistakes being made all over the ice, but the goaltender being the last line of defense, it's usually that's the guy that's, you know, underneath the magnifying glass, and that's the guy that they're going to look upon. So, you know, if the Golden Knights, you know, if they want to continue to, you know, keep doing what they're doing, you know, that would probably, you know, work to their benefit. Not let them off the hook. You know, don't give them the easy shots. You know, continue to keep driving traffic and pucks at them. And, you know, and if he, you know, if he happens to work his way out of it, then, you know, so be it. But from the other standpoint, you know, San Jose's got to look to protect their goaltender a little bit. You know, can't be chasing games all the time. You start chasing games, you put that much more pressure. And, you know, I remember, you know, a few years back with the Kings, you know, they had a lot of difficulties. They still do in scoring goals. You know, Jonathan Quick, you know, was backed into a corner. You know, you give up a goal early in the game, and you almost have to shut the team out the rest of the way. So I don't think you want to put all the onus upon your goaltender. I think, you know, everybody's got to contribute, both offensively and defensively. And I think he needs a little bit of help right now from his team collectively as a group.
So the way you talk about chasing games, the Sharks are now in a position of chasing the series. They won game one, looked as good as they had in a month, and now lost back-to-back games, and it hasn't really been pretty for the Sharks the last couple of games. But tonight, certainly a massive game four. The Sharks can either erase those last couple of games and take back home ice advantage, or the Knights can take a commanding lead in the series at 3-1. Do you think it's as simple as winner of tonight wins the series?
No, but it definitely puts you in a driver's seat. You know, we've seen too many times over the past, you know, good teams battle back from behind. I think some of it has to do in the fashion, the way their games are going. When you see, you know, dominant performances in a, you know, in a team, you know, having a lot of difficulty, you know, if it was kind of like a bit of a mismatch, you might say that. But, you know, I think when I look at these two teams, I think they both got a lot of firepower. You know, Martin Jones is, you know, is not having, you know, the type of series that he wants, but I think his team collectively as a group are giving up too many, you know, quality chances against them. The specialty teams always play a factor. But I think this is a pivotal game in a series, no doubt. You know, whether you know, Vegas wins tonight, you know, taking a commanding 3-1 lead, you know, I just think it's an important game for the way it's played. I think the result takes care of itself if you play the game the right way. I think you're going to look at a San Jose team that is, you know, they probably feel that they're backed into a corner a little bit, that you know, it's a must win situation. And you know, and they're a team that has high expectations, as do the Golden Knights. But I think from San Jose's standpoint, because of their, you know, their tenure in the league, you know, there's a little bit more pressure upon them. So I think you know, the Golden Knights, you know, from their standpoint, just keep doing what you're doing, put the pressure upon them, play off their mistakes, and you know, San Jose will try to clean the game up a little bit and play with a little bit more structure and a tighter checking game.
The voice of outstanding Kings broadcaster Darrell Evans here with us on Cofield and Company, getting ready for Game 4 tonight out at T-Mobile Arena. And, you know, you've seen a lot around this league. I did want to get your take on what the atmosphere is like here in Vegas. I mean, for us, it's, you know, it's new, and it's certainly different because it's, you know, hockey, and we never really expected to even have a hockey team here, and it's cool to go out there every night. But as somebody who, you know, has seen the team come to fruition from the outside, what have you thought of hockey in Vegas?
Well, I think when you go back, it's been almost 30 years since, you know, we with the Kings have been going to Las Vegas and, you know, doing camps and clinics throughout the course of the summers. And it's just been great to watch it grow, you know, to see where it's come to. And I never would have thought the NHL would have been the first of the major sports to make their way to Las Vegas. But being that it happened that way, you know, I'm glad that they did, because I think they captured the market there. I think you look at the you know, the surrounding events last year at the beginning of the season, the way that city rallied, you know, around the hockey club, and the way that club performed on the ice. I think it was just a great thing for the overall community to pull together. But you know, you've got in Nevada there in Las Vegas, you've got a lot of people from different parts of the country, different parts of the world that are, you know, somewhat familiar with the game. And now I think it's great because those people that have kind of given the game a chance, they are now pushing it to the, you know, to the people that are now growing up in Las Vegas. And, you know, their youth hockey program is great. You know, being around the rink, I was there in Memorial Day tournament last year. We'll be back again this year. And it's just great to see the way, you know, the amount of kids that are playing the game that are from Nevada, that have grown up in Nevada. So, you know, hats off to them for the way they've, you know, they've done everything. I think they've done everything the right way. The product that they put on the ice for the games is outstanding. The game entertainment definitely, you know, captures everybody. You know, they love what's going on. You look at, you know, the arena outside there, the way they rally before a game. So it's been great to see, and it's great to see a non-traditional hockey market, you know, thrive the way they are right now. And I think they've built themselves a foundation that's going to last for a lot of years. And, you know, as we said here in, you know, in California, in Los Angeles, you know, 30, 40 years ago, you know, one day we'll be seeing kids, you know, that are going to grow up here in California, you know, get drafted to the NHL and play. And I think the same will be said about, you know, kids in Las Vegas and Nevada, that those homegrown kids are going to, you know, find their path to the NHL. And, you know, when that first homegrown kid finds his way onto the Golden Knights, that's going to come full cycle for them. And I think it's going to be, you know, a great moment in hockey history and Golden Knight history there in Nevada.
Well, speaking of hockey history, what do you think is going on with Tampa Bay right now? We saw a historic regular season as they ran away from everybody, and now all of a sudden they cannot win in the playoffs.
Well, I think, you know, when you look at something like that, they had such an outstanding season, and let's face it, they're a great hockey club. You know, what you're seeing right now with Columbus, you know, kind of dominating that series right now, I think because they faced very little adversity as a club through the course of the year. Now that it comes about at this time when, you know, when things are really magnified, they're having difficulty handling it. And the guys that they turn to, you know, you look at Stamkos, Kucherov, you know, it was almost like, you know, you turn a switch, you need a goal, you know, those guys would be out there to get it. You know, it was almost 20 times this year that team scored 6 goals in a game. And, you know, they're having difficulty, you know, creating those grade A chances. So it's, you know, they're in uncharted territory right now collectively as a group, something that they haven't gone through this year. And it's the wrong time of the year to go at, you know, to go at something like this. You know, you'd almost, like, you would maybe wish that sometime through the course of the year that you run into a little bit of a hiccup just to see how guys react to it. But they're still a great team. You can never count them out. You know, I witnessed the Kings battle back from the 3-game deficit against San Jose, and not to say that Columbus and, you know, Tampa, that could happen in that series, but it very easily could happen. You know, you have to take it at one game mentality at a time. And I think the big thing is, you know, for this next game is that Tampa's got to find a way to play with the lead. I think if they're chasing the game from the get-go, I think they're going to be in for a long, long night. But Columbus, they're dialed in right now. They've got all kinds of confidence, and you got to give them their marks. You know, they've made some real gutsy moves there before the deadline. And it seems like all those players are starting to gel right now, but you know, they're in the heads of the Tampa Bay Lightning right now, and the Lightning have to find some way to make something positive happen and then try to feed off of it.
Darryl, we appreciate it. Thank you so much.
My pleasure, guys. Enjoy the game tonight. I'll be watching.
Thanks, sir.
We will. There you go, Darryl Evans, color analyst for the Kings. Played for the Kings, the Capitals, and the Leafs.